flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." John begins his vision with, you can open your eyes. John begins his vision with the words, "after this." More literally, it's "after these things." It's actually plural. What things? After what things? Well, the most obvious things are the seven letters, right? Remember where we are in Revelation. In chapter 1, he has this vision of Jesus where he describes Jesus with a variety of images, and then he is given seven letters to seven churches. And each of those letters refers back to something of Jesus in that first vision. After these things, that is, after the first vision, this depiction of Jesus, after the seven letters to the churches, John is given another vision. He says he looked and he saw a door open in heaven. As we've seen in Revelation, the kind of literature of Revelation is called apocalyptic. It's a style of literature that uses images like this to communicate great truth. If John had written that he saw horses and masked men with rifles riding on those horses, riding toward a speeding stagecoach, you'd understand, well, that's a Western. Well, John says he sees a door open in heaven, and so that signals to us, this isn't a Western, this is an apocalyptic. We get the same kind of imagery in the book of Ezekiel. Very beginning of Ezekiel, he says he saw into heaven, and what does he see? He saw visions of God. So here John is with his open door looking into heaven, and he is given a vision of God. Now, it's significant that he begins this way because of what he says in verse 1. He sees into heaven. That is, he sees into God's domain, the place that God occupies. And he hears the voice that spoke to him back in chapter 1, the voice that sounded like thunder or like a trumpet. That voice back in chapter 1, verse 10, belonged to Jesus. So picture the scene. He sees into heaven where God is, and he immediately hears the voice of a former carpenter from Nazareth. You see what he's saying? Jesus tells John that he will show him what is to come about after this, and then John, he says, is taken immediately into heaven in the Spirit. This means John's body is still on earth, right? He's not raptured up into heaven. That's not what this verse is talking about, right? This has nothing to do with the church. It's not about some end time sort of thing. John is taken into heaven in the Spirit, which simply means his body's still on earth, but he is given a vision. He looks up and he can see into heaven. Still on earth, he's looking into heaven. What does he see? He immediately sees a throne. Nothing more than that. Everything else is commentary. This is the dominant image in this chapter, and it's important for the rest of the book. The only way we can understand the rest of the book is chapter King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah sees the Lord in his glory, and what does he say? That the end of his garment's really big. Isn't that like meeting Andre the Giant and remarking, he has curly hair? For reference, the man standing next to him in this picture is Jimmy Superfly Snuka, who weighs 245 pounds and is about 6'4". He's a big guy. If you met Andre the Giant, is the first thing that's going to stand out to you is, oh, his hair's curly. What are you missing? Well, how can you describe the indescribable? John says he sees a rainbow around the throne. Why a rainbow? What else have we seen a rainbow in Scripture? Remember, Revelation is filled with lots of allusions to the rest of the Bible. Where else have we seen a rainbow? After the flood, the beginning of God's recreating the earth, so to speak, right? There's the beginning of new life on earth. Only this rainbow is indicative of the new creation when the whole thing is completely redone. Life doesn't simply get altered. Life gets completely changed. Well, around the throne, he says there are 24 other thrones, and seated on them are 24 elders. John doesn't say what sort of creatures they were. They're not elders like I'm an elder, Dave's an elder, Dan. Not that kind of elder. Some sort of creatures occupy these thrones. Well, some think they might be Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. I don't think that can be, because in the next chapter, as we'll see next week, they actually sing this song about how Jesus made them into a kingdom of priests, not made us into a kingdom of priests. So whatever these creatures are, they're amazing. They're holy in majesty. They're creatures of incredible power. They do represent Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. It's likely that there are 12 of them to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and 12 of them to represent the 12 apostles, and of course all those who believe through their testimony. They are clothed in white. They wear golden crowns, indicating again that they are holy and powerful beings. Well, John further describes the scene in verse 5. It says, from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. Well, this is something we've seen in Scripture before. This also comes from the book of Exodus and Moses, and something he said. The people of Israel are gathered around God's presence at Mount Sinai, and Moses says this in Exodus 19. It said, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. Think of that. Let's go meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on
goes on to describe what comes out of the sea. There's these great and terrifying beasts. These beasts represent the corrupt world systems. Blasphemous creatures come out of the sea in the book of Daniel. Back in Revelation 13, John once again makes a reference back to that. He says this, "And I saw a beast rising out of the sea." Listen to the description. "With 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns, and blasphemous names on its heads." So out of the sea comes terrifying beasts that once again represent the kingdoms of man. A few verses later in chapter 13, John describes these terrible beasts as speaking haughty and blasphemous words against God. What comes from the sea? Chaos and rebellion. The sea churns and it roils with rebellion. It produces waves of blasphemy against God that build and crash and thrash about, bring nothing but destruction and death. A couple more times John mentions the sea, but take a look at this last mention of the sea in Revelation. Chapter 21, he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." He's not talking about the ocean. That's not, neither Daniel nor John are referring to the ocean when they talk about the sea. The sea symbolizes, symbolically represents the blasphemous world systems and governments that claim power and sovereignty. The chaos of the sea represents the chaos of the world systems. The systems that oppress and hurt and trample over people, that rebel against God and blaspheme against Him. But notice the sea that is before this throne. It is perfectly calm and placid. Not even a ripple. It's like crystal. When Daniel saw the vision of the sea producing all sorts of wicked creatures coming out of it, these creatures that represent the evil world systems, he immediately saw another vision right after this. Listen to what he says. This is in response to these terrifying kingdoms of man. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man." It's interesting. Jesus' most favorite name for himself is the Son of Man. Most often when he refers to himself, he calls himself the Son of Man. This is where he gets it, because this is describing him. "There came one like a son of man. He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him," that is, to this Son of Man, "was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." Why is the sea before the throne calm like a sea of glass? Because the sovereign God who reigns forever and ever has subdued the blasphemous world systems that stand opposed to him. Now, when John sees into heaven, he sees the sea that produces chaos and evil and oppression and sin and death on earth, but he sees it now from God's perspective, and from God's perspective, it is calm and placid. See, John is given a glimpse of reality from God's perspective. Now, from his perspective, reality is very different. Remember, John is writing from prison, right? He's not a free man, free to come and go as he pleases. He has to write this letter and hand it off to someone else to go deliver it, because he's in prison for proclaiming Jesus. He's writing to seven churches who are experiencing varying levels of opposition, up to and including martyrdom. They're being killed for their faith. But before God's throne, all is calm, and all is going according to plan. Because there is one who is seated on the throne. Around the throne, John sees these four living creatures. These creatures simply represent all of creation. He describes them as having full of eyes, which means God is able to see everywhere. God sees all of his creation. He sees all and he knows all that happens with his creation. What is the response to being in God's sovereign presence? Day and night, they never cease to worship him. They cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They recognize God's sovereignty over the chaos of the world systems, and so they respond in worship. In response to their worship, the 24 elders give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne. Just say, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things." Before leading preachers' crowd, God is holy. In response, the elders proclaim that he is worthy because he is the one who created all things. This means the Lord is distinct from, he is separate from, he is utterly unlike anything else that exists. Remember, there are two categories. There are things that are created, and then there's God. One of these is not like the other. God is holy. All other, everything that isn't God has at least one thing in common. It was created by God. That's the two categories for things. God, everything else. He is holy. Because he is creator, he and he alone is sovereign. No one else could sit on that throne. Notice the title they give him, Our Lord and God. As you know, Domitian was emperor when Revelation was written. Lots of emperors have been called Lord and God. Domitian was the first emperor who demanded that he be called Lord and God. John is given a vision of those churches who are suffering under his reign, under his emperorship. He reminds them that even though Domitian demands worship as Lord and God, Domitian created nothing. Only the Lord God Almighty created. Therefore, only the Lord God Almighty is truly sovereign. You know, the mistake we can make with a text like this is to try to figure it out. It's the last thing you want to do. We don't want to try to figure out. Like the rest of Revelation, we can get so caught up in the symbolism John uses as if we're trying to make something to mean something deeper than it actually means. Right? We try to over-spiritualize its meaning, which ironically robs it of its deeply spiritual meaning. Here it is. God is to be worshipped. Here's your application. What an application. Write this down in your notes. Live tweet is there. Worship God. Here's your live tweet for the week. God is to be worshipped. He is to be worshipped by this week.